So this morning, like I said, I'm going to be rounding up the series on the not-so-modern family. And my subject title this morning is Not-so-modern Parenting. We are going to be talking about parenting. We can't leave parenting out of, our series on family. And we just want to talk about parenting this morning. Can we open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. I know a lot of us know that verse by heart, okay? But I just want us to read that this morning as we start. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the privilege to sit down and listen to your word again this morning. Lord, we do not take it for granted. I do not take it for granted bringing your word this morning, because as your word says, no man take this honor upon himself to be your mouthpiece. I pray, Lord, for the help of the Holy Spirit this morning to help me convey the word that you've given to me for your people and for me as well this morning. Lord, I pray, my heart desire that this word will not bring any condemnation to any parent here or to any child here, Lord. But it will position us, Lord, to be our best in our roles as parents. It will correct us, it will instruct us, it will give us, the Bible says your word is a lamp unto our feet. It will give us direction in our parenting. Lord, we pray. Let there be, oh God, a release of your power and your grace over every one of us here this morning. And let your word bring life in the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Not so modern parenting. The first thing I want to say this morning is the fact that parenting is a hard job. I know you all agree with me. How many parents do we have here in the house this morning? Yes, I'm speaking to the right people. We have parents, we have grandparents. We have people who have, parents have biological children. We have some that have natural children, maybe by marriage. They have son-in-law, daughters-in-law. And we have people that have adopted children. We have people that have spiritual children. Those are people that are looking up to you. People that you are mentoring, whether directly or indirectly. And, even some of us, some are here this morning that are yet to have kids, but you have children in your sphere of influence. And I believe this message is going to be beneficial for everyone here this morning. And most importantly, we are all children to our parents, no matter what age we are. Especially for people who still have their parents alive. So there will be some things that will beneficial for us as well. So my starting point this morning is I want to say three statements before I actually give you some of the points that God has laid on my heart. The first one is the fact that parenting is hard, and it's interesting that when children come into the world, the word that brings them in is labor. it's labor. You can't escape it. Okay? So that's just to, that's just to show you that, the child coming into the world, someone suffered, to bring them forth. Right? And then as they begin to grow, you have to, put some things to the back, so that you'll be able to provide for those children, so that you'll be able to guide and lead those children, so that those children can survive. They need the parents. So, but as much, challenging and hard that parenting could be, it is also the most rewarding. Some of us have children, as especially talking to Christian parents this morning, some of us have children that don't know the Lord or were raised in church and they've departed from the faith, or children with special needs, children with health challenges or developmental challenges, Parenting can be hard, But I've got good news for you this morning. Can we open our Bibles to Psalm 127? I have a few scriptures to go through today. And we will do it quickly, okay? So Psalm 127 and verse 3. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but whatever translation you have this morning is okay. We'll just go through it quickly. It says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Can you tell yourself that, you know, especially if you have children, my children are a gift to me. Can you say that this morning? You know, I wish the children are worshiping with us this morning. But when you get home today, I want you to just say that. You know, I believe in practical messages. I want you to, the more you say something, the more, it becomes part of you. The more you begin to live in the reality of it, you know. No matter how that child is behaving, no matter, what you are yet to see in that children, you know, keep calling them what God sees in them, you know, not what they are now. Keep calling them what they can be, not what they are now, all right? You know, your children are living far away. Send them a message when you get home today. Tell him, I love you. You are a gift. You are beautiful, you know. That will make the day of that child. Praise the Lord. And that will reassure you as a parent that child is a gift to you. You know, so no matter what your child look like now, let's be grateful. Let's be grateful for our children. You know, some people, you know, really desire to have kids, but, you know, they don't yet, you know. But, the kid that God has blessed you with, I want you all to be grateful, They belong to God, you know, and, one thing that I've realized is God does not have grandchildren, okay? I'm a child of God. My children are children of, they belong to God. They are children of God as well. Praise the Lord. So, I'm moving on. The second one is that, the purpose of parenting, sometimes we miss it. And in Pastor's message last week, he mentioned something very important. In the book of Psalm, I think it's Psalm 127 that we opened before, and verse 4, you know, the NLT translation says, children born to a young man are like arrows. They are like arrows in a warrior's hand. And if you go to verse 5, it says, how joyful is a man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accuser at the gate, at the city gate. Pastor mentioned last week that, our children are like arrows, that we're supposed to imprint, the image of God on them while we have them and shoot them forth. So they are not like a piece of furniture that you keep in the house, you know. They are here for us to equip them, to train them, and to send them forth so that they continue propagating the kingdom of God wherever they find themselves. You know, I was thinking about it this week, and the Lord brought a scripture to my heart in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. I will encourage you to, note some of the scriptures down, or, go back and listen to this message again because of our time. I'm going to be moving really quickly, you know. That Malachi chapter 2 verse 15, I'm reading from the New Living Translation as well. It says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? So this verse's prior was talking about family, was talking about marriage. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife in body and spirit at ease? And what does he want? He says, what does the Lord want? You know, when we are talking about the union of a man and a woman. He says, godly children from your union. Godly children from your union. So guard your heart, remain loyal to the wife of your youth. My emphasis this morning is the fact that what does God want from us as a parent? It's godly children from that union. Godly children from that union. So we need to pass on. We need to pass on that, that baton of faith to our children. Praise the Lord. Moving on this morning. Number three things I want you to realize is the fact that, what the series is all about is the not so modern family. So the fact that we're in the modern days, right, is what I want us to think about again this morning. I know we all know that it's modern days. Things have changed. The way we parents have changed. You know, the family structure have changed. They've even changed the definition of marriage, you know. Right now, in so many countries, marriage is not between a man and a woman anymore, like God made it in the beginning. You know, they said a man and a woman can just marry. A woman and a woman can marry, you know, and they can adopt children and, you know, everything will be all fine, you know. It's all, and everything that the society believes in is kind of diametrically opposed to the word of God, you know. For example, even the issue of finances that Pastor, you know, was talking about earlier, God says the way, you know, to live, the way to be blessed is to give. The word says the way to be, the way for financial prosperity is for you to hold on to what you have, you know. It's all the opposite. So, you know, I was thinking about it and you know, I realized that thinking back at what used to obtain and what obtains now, there are about three, you know, styles of parenting. The first style is, you know, some of us have parents that are authoritarian. How many people have authoritarian fathers or mothers growing up? I did. My father was an authoritarian. And what is the goal of a parent who is authoritarian? You know, it's do it or else, you know. And for us children, you know, when I was growing up, the motivation is or else, because I know what is coming if I don't do it. You know, so the goal is to obey, you know. The focus is to correct wrong behavior, you know, not so much on instilling the right one, you know. It's like an authoritarian parent is, you know, is not considering the feeling of the child at all, you know, not taking the child into consideration at all. Just do it or else, you know, you get some dirty spanking, you know. But anyway, so that's the first style of parenting. That used to obtain, you know, in the olden days. In some families, it's still obtaining now. But then the one I'm talking about, I want to focus this morning, is the modern one. And that style is the permissive parenting. The permissive parenting, you know, the goal is to want my kids to be like me. How many people have seen in magazines, the mini-me's, you know, where the mother will wear the same thing? I love it. You know, if I was back home where we saw the clothes that we wear, I think I'll be doing that a lot. But here it's really hard to find clothing like that, you know. You pay big money to be able to do that. But anyway, the permissive parent, you know, the goal is to want my kid to be like me, and the goal is to want the kid to like me. You know, so I make my parenting child-centered. Whatever the child wants is what I want. You know, from being a baby, you see permissive parents that, you know, you're bringing a cup of water to your kid in a sippy cup, and you get to the child, and the girl said, I don't want a pink cup, I want a blue cup. What does it matter? You know, but you see a permissive parent running back to the kitchen, you know, to change the cup to a blue one, you know. You are kind of telling the child that you can have whatever you want. I'm at your beck and call, you know. Anything goes. Kind of a life, you know. They believe that kids are by nature very good. You know, we believe that when babies are born. But I give you a few weeks before you realize that they're not. The Bible says that, you know, we were born with a sin nature. Children are not naturally good. You know, the tendency for them to go towards the bad, actually, you know. So that is what is wrong about being a permissive parent. And that is what the modern family centers around, you know. You can't do anything to your children, you know. Even the children are allowed to call the police on you, you know, in this society, you know. So those are two styles of parenting. But I want to introduce to you this morning another style of parenting, which I've called biblical parenting, you know, which is a balance. It's not just a balance of, you know, the authoritarian parent and the permissive parent, but it's one that actually trains the heart. It's the one that is based on the principle of the word of God. Praise the Lord. You know, it instills and write the right values, you know, as the word says, the values are written on the tablets of their heart. You know, that is the one that I want to talk about this morning. But I know a lot of you are Christians. You know these things. You know, you've read some of these verses, right? But what I've come to realize is I teach in the kids' church most of the time, and I've dealt a lot with parents, you know, in the few years that I've been in church and I've been in ministry, you know. But I discovered that there are three kinds of Christian parents as well. You know, the first kind of parents are the parents that take their cue from the modern family. They are Christians, you know, but they take their cue from the modern family, from the culture, from Hollywood and, you know, the Hollywood movies and what is the in thing right now. You know, that's where they take their cue from celebrities, you know, and that is how they parent. What is Hugh Jackman doing right now? What is, you know, I don't know some of the names of the celebrities, you know, and what are they wearing now? So my kids can wear it as well, no matter how revealing or whatever it is, you know. But they are Christian parents, you know, but, you know, they don't take the word of God seriously, you know. But then the other kind of parents, Christian parents I've come across are parents of faith. They listen to God, you know. They want to keep learning. They hacked it out, you know. But they are passive when it comes to their children, you know. They are passive with the word of God when it comes to their children. They come to church. They listen to the word. But they don't take that extra step in instilling those virtues in the children, you know. When they come into church on Sunday, you know, the kids doesn't want to come, they leave them at home, you know. They're passive Christian parents. And then there are parents, you know, Christian parents who actually, you know, I want to focus on this morning and how we can all become more of this morning. Our parents of faith who know the word, who do the word, and go the extra step of instilling these virtues in their children. Praise the Lord. That is my heart desire for myself and for every parent here this morning. That we become the kind of parents that, you know, we not only stand as God's representative. You know how Pastor mentioned in the family series that God is at the top, you know, and the man and the woman and then the children, you know. The kind of parent that will follow that standard. That will follow the principle of God. Praise the Lord. So, we started with Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Can we go back there briefly this morning? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, when he says train up a child, that suggests, you know, when they are still young, right? Because it says when they are old. So that means this verse is talking about us, you know, doing something, training our children when they are young. And what I've come to realize is we have a small window of opportunity in the lives of our children, you know. By the time they get to uni, they're already out of the house. So we need to make use of that small window of opportunity. And it is easier to learn the right way than to try to unlearn the wrong way. So these years are, you know, the younger years, you know, adolescent years, you know, they are our greatest opportunities, you know, to train those children. And I'm thinking, okay, what does training mean? I know we all know the meaning of training. To train means to teach, you know, one of the that actually stood out to me is the fact that training is to teach through sustained practice and instruction. It implies something you do and then say. So I want every parent here this morning to realize that, you know, how you speak, you know, how you act, we speak louder than how you speak, you know. So everything we're going to be talking about this morning, you know, I want you to all be a doer of it first. You know, that is the way God made it to be. When you train, you are doing it. In fact, you know, in the past few weeks, the leadership of this church, we studied a book together. The book is called Rock Solid Volunteers by Larry Fowler. And there's a principle about training that I want to point out to you from that book. You know, he said he's had training described this way. Number one, I will do it and you watch. Okay? So in the context of, you know, training our children, I will do it and you watch. Then the next step is we do it together. Then the next step is you try it and I watch. And then you step back and let them do it alone. And then the process continues. It says you do it and someone else watches. That is when they begin to, you know, have children as well. And, you know, people, they begin the process again. Okay, so I will do it. You watch. What a beautiful, you know, explanation of what training is. We have to be an example. Not passive, but consciously. Know that someone is watching. You know, I saw this picture. I thought I was going to bring that up, but, you know, I don't know how to download it from my phone. I saw a picture of, you know, a man doing an exercise, doing some press-ups. And there was a little, maybe two-year-old next to him, you know, trying to copy him, you know, trying to do press-up. And the words they wrote underneath that thing was, "I was tempted to give up until I saw who was watching." It's beautiful, you know. Let's realize that our children are watching. We can't be saying something that we are not doing. We can't give what we don't have. So that is the first place I want to start this morning. And talking about the seasons of parenting, you know, I've come to realize that there are three seasons, you know. The first season is you are in charge of their lives. You feed them, you clothe them, you tell them, sit down, they sit down. You tell them, stand up, they stand up. You can't go out, you are not going out, you know. You are in charge of their lives. Then the second season is they are in charge of their own lives, you know. They become adults, you know, they leave the house, you know, and they don't have to directly obey you anymore, right? And then there's the next season where they're in charge of their lives and in charge of yours. How many people are in charge of their parents' lives right now? I am. You know, you look after them because they're old, you know. But what will make that part, that last season, sweet, you know, is what you deposit in them in that first season, you know. If you're raising a child that they think they can have everything they want, do you think when you're in the third season they will look after you? They can have whatever they want, so why should they? You know, I want you to think about it. So the point I'm making this morning is we have a short window of opportunity to train these children, and the process of training involves us parents actually doing what we are preaching, doing what we are saying, doing what we are telling them to do. You know, a very interesting example happened a couple of weeks ago. I think we came to Nexus Youth, and you know, I came straight from work. I didn't have lunch. I was tired. You know, I didn't sleep well the night before, and I've been telling one of my kids has been asking me that she wants to take coffee. You know, and I said, no, you can't take coffee yet. But, you know, eventually she's been sneaking, you know, that she's been sneaking to take it. And, you know, I allow her to take, you know, a cup once in a while. And I got in here and I thought, oh, how do I see myself through Nexus tonight? And I went to the coffee thing and I made coffee. And she came to me and said, can I have coffee too? And I said, no, you can't have it, you know. And she kept, I said, no, you can't have it. And then it dawned on me that I've told her before that she can't have coffee at 7 o'clock at night. And here I am doing it. You know, as I was taking that sip of coffee, I kept getting convicted. Eventually, I went to throw the coffee away. You know, that is, you know, it's not about guilt feeling. It's about us doing, you know, what you want to see in your children. Are we actually doing it? Praise the Lord. I think because of our time, we're just going to keep moving, you know. I want to emphasize, give you a few benefits, you know, blessings attached to biblical parenting. That Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, when they are whole, they will not depart from it. Some people believe that this verse is a promise, you know, that when I do this, when I train my child, when they grow up, they will not depart from it. But we've seen kids that are raised in church, raised with good moral values, and they grow up and they choose a different path, right? Some people believe that, oh, it's a principle, you know, that once you do it, you know, this is what to expect. I believe they are both. You know, I believe they are both. It's a principle and it's also a promise. You can actually take that promise, you know, and hold on to it. You know, the thing is, once you instill those virtues in those children, even when they, you know, get influenced by friends and you know, the interesting thing is, I saw a survey that said children that go into drugs and alcohol and, you know, go into criminal acts, right, that they all first got introduced by a friend. By all of them. They got introduced to it by a friend. Somebody offered them something, you know. Somebody offered them something, and they decided to try it, you know. So why are we not offering our children the right thing? Why are we not telling them what is right from wrong? You know, consciously. Praise the Lord. So I want to give you what I call, some tools in, from the Bible that are biblical parenting. But before I do that, I'm talking about the blessings attached to biblical parenting. Number one is that Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 that says that when they grow up, they will not depart from it. You can actually take it as a promise, that even when they get introduced to something, even when they leave, that thing will never leave them. I grew up in church, right? But I, because like I said, my dad was an authoritarian. My dad is good. He loves us so much. We had 9 kids in the family. So you can imagine how big the family is, at the dinner table. My dad can give anything to his children, but you have to do what he says, But, growing up as a child, I realized that one thing my dad would not joke about is taking us to church or waking up early in the morning to pray. If you like, when he would wake up everyone, bring them to his room or sometimes in the living room. If you like, go get there and start sleeping, but you are coming anyway, And I used to resent it. That why will he do that? We do Bible study together. I used to resent it. That once I leave this house, I'm never going to do any of these things, I got to uni, and what has been instilled in me will just not leave me, I got to uni, I didn't have a heart of going to drugs or anything, but I had a heart of not doing all this religious stuff, And I discovered that I couldn't escape it, That thought, all the words, all the prayers, all the music we sang together, all the church attendance just kept coming back to me, And my first semester at uni, I went to find a fellowship. We call it fellowship in those days, it's like a church in uni. And I found myself there. My parents were not there, and I started attending. And I used to have a cousin that I went for my first holiday in my first semester. I went to my cousins, they are Christians, they are born-again Christians, and they took me to church. And I walked out and gave my life to the Lord, But I know that what really brought that about was the fact that my parents, never leave me at home when they're going to church. They wake me up in the morning, whether I like it or not, to pray, Even though I resented it at that time, it was what brought me back, to the faith. Praise the Lord. So that's one of the benefits. Another benefit is, in Exodus 34 and Numbers 14, verse 18, it talks about the fact that the Lord, visited the iniquity of the fathers upon their children. But when a parent stands up, for example, let's say there's a lineage of, alcoholics, and one of the parents just stands up, that curse keep going, you see it keep transferring to the next generation, because God's word cannot be broken, But you see one parent stand up and say, I'm not doing this anymore, walk out, give their life to the Lord, and that generation, it starts a new generation. That's one of the blessings of you standing up and training your children in the Bible way. You kind of stop the curse, you stop, and you kind of invoke the blessings of God upon your home. And another blessing attached, if you read the whole of Psalm 128, it talks about you as a parent being happy, being at peace as a parent. I know my parents are at peace, now. They are happy for me, because they see me, I don't go back to them and the police are not chasing them all about, they're happy. Praise the Lord. And that is what the benefit of biblical parenting can bring about. Then in the later part of that Psalm 128, it talks about your children being fruitful, in the heart of your wife being fruitful in the heart of your house, your children around your table, your children like olive plants. Your children will be fruitful. They will be fruitful. It is a promise of God, And most importantly, that Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15 that we talked about, it will bless God's heart. It pleases God's heart, when we raise our children the godly way. I can begin to go on and on and on the blessings attached, you know, to you raising your children in the way of the Lord. But because of our time, we keep moving. So I want to give you some of the tools or some of the ways of parenting biblically, okay? And I can give you, I don't know how many points I can give you on this one, but I leave you to go and study more on that. But I want to give you what I call, some A, B, C, D steps, you know, in biblical parenting. So we're going to talk about the A, the B, the C, and the D. So the A of my A, B, C, D of biblical parenting is authentic faith. Authentic faith. I'm telling you, parents, this is, you know, God said to my heart that, you know, this is the best parenting advice that anyone can get, you know. Get close to God as a parent. Get close to God as a husband. Get close to God as a wife, you know. Get close to God as a worker, you know. The more you are close to God, the more you are empowered, the more you are enabled to be able to do whatever role you are in. And especially in this situation as a parent. Let's teach our children to put God first. I mentioned to you about my parents, how they take us to church, whether we like it or not. You know, I can't imagine in this modern society, you know, Christian parents waking up on a Sunday and coming to church and asking their children whether they want to come to church or not. You know, these children are not of age yet. They are not at that point where they know the right from wrong. Of course, it's not easy to serve God. It's not easy to wake up early on Sunday morning when you're rather sleeping. But part of the process is telling them, teaching them that, you know, nothing comes easy in life, you know. But if you're just letting them have their way, let them sleep, you know, and not come to church, not come to prayer. I mean, we have Nexus for our youths here, you know. I'm sure we have parents among us who are not letting their children to come, you know. Why would you not want your children to come, you know, and get the foundation, you know, for their lives? Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. He says, "But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Will you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Let's instill in our children, you know, that fact that this family, as long as you are part of this family, we will serve the Lord. Unless you are firm and you know, with children and let them know your stand, they take you for granted. Praise the Lord. So number one, teach them to put God first. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Part of putting God first is waking up in the morning to pray together as a family. Part of putting God first is teaching them the principle of giving and tithing. Teaching them to put God first is, you know, is letting them know that their spirit, you know, we are spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Making God first is telling them that their spirit is more important than their soul and their bodies. You know, so that spiritual development, we're kind of communicating to them that is the most important thing, you know. That is the most important thing. Even school comes second. Because we've seen children that have gone to school, you know, get the best grade at school and don't turn out well in life. Teach them the fear of the Lord. Psalm 31 and verse 11. Psalm 31 and verse 11, it says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." The fear of the Lord that I'm talking about is not you being afraid. It's not the children being afraid of God. It's the reverential fear of God. Reverential fear of God. You see children just, you know, saying all sorts of things about God, you know, even right there in the presence of their parents. Show them the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Live a godly life before them. And teach them to lead a godly life. Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Protect them from worldly influences." That's another one. Protect them. You know, our kids, they know now that there are some things they don't watch on TV. You know, that's what we've instilled from them from when they've been younger than what they are now. And right now, even when something is shown on TV and we walk into the room, you know, before we even walk there, they will have, in fact, the other day I was passing by and my little one, something came up on TV and the older one just went and changed it. You know, that no, you can't watch that. You know, they already know what not to watch without us even being there. But it starts with you showing them. It starts with you letting them know and not being passive about it. You know, let them know what you believe. You know, we have grandparents here, you know. I know the children are out of the house. Some of them are married even, you know. But anytime they come, even when I go home now, I still have to go to church. My husband went back home in December. We are originally from Nigeria. And he went to visit my parents. He went to their church with them. He didn't have a choice on that. Especially because he's visiting, he doesn't have a church over there. Why will he not? And, you know, he can't just stay home. So as grandparents, your children visit home, even though they are not Christian. They already know that you're a Christian. They know, they must know that Sunday morning you are in church. So if they want to see you on a Sunday, they are coming to church with you. You know, not you shelf church because they are visiting. Those are the things we need to, you know, we need to make them know they are our priority. You are not forcing them to go into your faith at that age, you know. But you are just saying that this is what I believe in. You have to respect that. Praise the Lord. It says, then another thing that I want to mention is the fact that, protecting from worldly influences. I want to give you an example. There are some people that are showcased in Hebrews 11. That are there because of what they did for their families. Moses' parents is an example. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Let's not parent with fear, you know. Let's not think that, you know, our children are missing out because they're not doing what everyone is doing. You know, when your children come to you and say, I want to do this, and you say, no, you can't do it. This is against God's word. And they say, but everyone is doing it. What should you tell them? Let them go and do it. Of course, you tell them that, you know, I don't care whether the world is doing it or not. What I care about is, you know, what is approved by God? You know, let them know. After some time, they won't come to you with some things anymore. Take them to church. I think I already mentioned that. But an example I want to show you out of that that heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 is in Hebrews 11 and verse 31. And this is talking about Rahab. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. I don't know whether we all know the story of Rahab. Rahab was a harlot. And they were coming to the city. The Israelites were possessing the land that the Lord has given them. They were getting to the promised land, and they were going to destroy our city, you know. But one thing Rahab said is, we've heard of you, you know. We've heard of you, how your God has been supporting you. Automatically, you know, because of what they have heard, she believed in God. She believed in God, which is, you know, I believe in our day and time would be tantamount to, you know, giving our heart to the Lord. You know, that's why the fact that she was an harlot. And he said, okay, when you come to destroy the land, you know, how will you save me? Save me, you know. So he hid the spies that came, and they promised that they're going to save her. And you know what she said? She said, okay, I'm going to, can you save my family as well? I don't want to be the one that will be saved. She went to bring all her family. And in those days, you need to know how they look at harlots, you know. But she actually, I don't know how she managed to convince her family, but she brought them into her house. And she was supposed to tie a scarlet cord on her house so that they know that house will not be destroyed. She brought her father, her mother, her siblings into that house, and they were the only family that was preserved in that town, you know, all because she brought them into the house. There is protection for our children in the house of God. And we parents need to understand that. We need to understand that. And, you know, what amazes me is, you know, because of that heart, she was listed as, you know, being among the heroes of faith. Praise the Lord. Because of the heart of her believing and saving our family. Teach them to serve God by serving with them. Let's serve together as a family. You know, don't just come here and be, you know, you have children who are 10, 12, 14, you know, 16, not doing anything, not helping out at all in church. You are serving, that's okay. But you need to get to the point where you bring them in. That is part of the training. This is exemplified by Noah. Noah, you know, was also listed in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. If you look at verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with a godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household." He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. In fact, if you go back and read it in Genesis, he brought his children to be part of building that ark. We have to serve together as a family. Look for things that your children can do in church. Thank God for our pastor who's made, you know, opportunities available even for our kids to serve in this church. It's not something that will kill them. It's something that will position them to keep doing it for life. And the B part of my ABCD of parenting is bless them. Bless your children. I know this sounds like, you know, are you telling me to bless my kids? Of course I bless them. But personally, I've discovered I have to make time to bless my kids. I have to consciously do it. Don't let them just go out in the morning. Don't let them go to school without saying a word of prayer with them. Without saying, God bless you. Without saying, you know, the Lord keep you. Without saying, you know, you will receive God's help today. How can we? We have, you know, what a lot of parents don't realize is we have authority to do so. We have authority to bless our children, to pronounce blessing on them. Look at the story of Jesus. Jesus in Luke chapter 10. If you read verses 13 and 16, I'm not going to read it because of our time. Children were coming to Jesus, and the disciples and the crowd, they started pushing them away, you know. And what did Jesus say? He says, "Don't hinder children from coming to me, you know, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And the Bible says he sat down, put them on his laps, and blessed them. We have, remember the principle that Pastor said, God, the Father, the Mother, you know, and the children. God is not here physically. We have the God that they can see. And we need to pronounce blessing on our children. Pray for them. Pray with them. They have issues at school, you know, especially when they get to their teenage years, you know. They don't even have to, even primary school. Hold their hands and pray with them. I remember when we moved to Australia, you know, my kids just moved to a new school and, you know, I don't think we have as many Africans we have now when we moved here in 2008, you know, in this community. And in their class, they're the only African, you know, the skin color is different. And, you know, one of them get teased and bullied, you know, and she would come home crying, you know, and she would tell me, "Oh, I want to have a white skin," you know. What I did at that time was, you know, try to encourage her as much as I can, but most importantly, I will pray with her. And just say, "Don't worry, God loves you. You know, it doesn't matter the color of your skin. You know, we are made in God's image. You know, I don't know how it happened that we have different colors, but we are all made in God's image. And God loves you just the way you are, you know. But I know that praying with them actually helped. You know, praying with them actually helped. You know, bring them to the throne of grace. You know, these children need help. What these children are going through, what they are battling right now, is not what we face in our time. You know, they need the help of God. They need our prayers. They need our support. You know, and also to the teenagers that are here especially, I want to say that there are some blessings that are provoked. Not even teenagers, even those of us that still have parents that are alive. Ephesians 6 says, obey your parents in the Lord. But you get to a stage where you begin to live alone. You are in charge of your life. You know, you are not really obeying them directly anymore. They can't tell you not to go out or not to come back home. You know, you can do what you like. But there's something we never stop doing, which is to honor our parents. No matter how old our parents are, you still need to honor them. You still need to look after them. You know, it's in this society that I see, you know, aged parents being abandoned in old age homes. It is our turn to take care of them and look after them. And, you know, why I went into that is the fact that, you know, there are some blessings that are provoked. Have you ever had someone, you know, done something special for you and your heart just blesses them? It's different from, you know, God bless you. It's God bless you. Like, it's coming from deep down from your heart. Look at the story of Isaac in Genesis chapter 27, you know, when he's told he had twins, Esau and Jacob, and he said, go prepare something for me so that my heart can bless you. Why can't he just bless? I used to think about it. Why can't he just bless them? Why do they have to go and cook something? But he understands the principle of provoking a blessing, you know, by obedience. He just wants that obedience, you know. And he brings out, you know, as he's eating it, his heart is joyful. And that blessing is deep. So teenagers here, you know, do things that will provoke the blessings of your parents, not their curses. You know, because they have the power to do both. We'll keep moving. You know, I listened to a message by Rick Warren. He was talking about missions and evangelism. But there's something he pointed out that I think is a good principle for parenting here, which is a good thing to talk about. He says, Jesus always blesses everywhere he goes. So he was saying that when Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, and he tells them not to take anything with them. When you enter a village, you know, you greet them in peace. If they receive you, you keep going. And he says that, you know, what? So you kind of pronounce a blessing on them. If they receive it, you go in. You know, and he says the way Jesus did it was, you know, how Jesus blesses is with a look. Number two, with a word and with a touch. And I thought to myself, you know, this is applicable to parenting, you know. He says with a look of understanding. I'm not talking of the look, okay? We all know the look when our children are not doing the right thing, you know. But he says it's a look of understanding, you know. Look at them with understanding, especially when they're going through tough times, when they're going through a challenge in school, you know. He says you bless them with a look of understanding, with a word of encouragement. You know, sometimes I would think, you know, it's been a while that I've actually encouraged my kid, you know. Sometimes it's easy to point out all the bad things they're doing and just, you know, keep reminding them of it. Why can't we just encourage them a bit? Praise the Lord. Give them a word of encouragement. Then you also can bless them by a touch of affirmation, a touch of affection. Because I believe these three things are missing in a lot of our children's life. Understanding, encouragement, and affection. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't get a lot of hugs from my dad because culturally it's not done. You know, you have to, it's a sign of respect when you look at your dad from far away. You know, I'm telling you. But times have changed now, you know. I hug my dad, parents playing with their kids and climbing on them and stuff like that, you know. It's okay. It's okay to hug your children. You know, it's okay to touch them. It's okay to give them a pat on the back. Praise the Lord. So those are the ways to bless our children. In prayer, you know, and also with a look of understanding, a word of encouragement, and a touch of affirmation. I'm going to move quickly to my third point, which is C. Sorry, I'm taking your time. Pastor took a lot of the time already. So just give me... Give me 5-10 minutes more and I'll be done. Okay? Careful correction. Give them correction is my C, okay, of my ABCD of biblical parenting. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 talks about the fact that the Lord corrects those that he loves. He disciplines those that he loves. We need to carefully and firmly correct our children. That's one thing I've had to work on, you know, in my life as a parent, you know. Let husband and wife, let's agree in discipline children. I've always had to work on it because, you know, my husband would want to correct the child for doing something, you know, and I would be, you know, not wanting to do that, and I would be like, I don't know how to put it, you know, trying to defend them, you know, and tell them and explain the reason why they did what they did and, you know. But, you know, I found that it's better to agree, you know, because that child will do that thing again. If he knows that one parent is condoning it and the other one is not, you know, so he's confused. Praise the Lord. So careful correction. Hebrews 12:6, we've mentioned that. And Proverbs chapter, I think I need to show you this one as well. We talk about discipline. Proverbs 29 verse 15, it says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. They will bring shame to us if we don't correct them. Communicate love in every correction. Don't correct out of anger. Proverbs 13:24 is another one. It says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him. I'm not talking about abuse this morning, okay? There are many parents abusing their children. But, you know, we need to be frank, and we need to go back to God's word. This is talking about the rod. Some people explain it to mean the word of God. But I don't think this is talking about the word of God. A rod is a rod, okay? But what I know is, you don't use, there's a kind of rod that, you know, they use in those days, you know? It's just a little stick or something, you know, not, you know, that you just use on the backside of the child. Not slapping a child on the face. You know, it's when you slap someone on the face, it's you're putting them down, you know? Not a knock on the head that it affects their brain and they don't do well at school, you know? But a gentle correction. And the truth of the matter is they get to an age where you can't even use a rod anymore, you know? You can't, because if you do, they turn back to you and give you a beating of your life. I'm not encouraging children to do that, but that's just the truth of the matter, you know? We need to discipline, whichever way you want to do it, that you know is right for you, right for that child. Children need discipline. You know, you can't discipline children the same way. There are some children, you say, don't go there, they stop and they go do something else. They're just children, they just ignore you until you give them a little spank on their butt before they leave that place, you know. You need to study a child and let the Holy Spirit direct you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep moving. One example that you can check when you get home is the example of Eli in 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, you know, Eli was a priest, you know, his children were serving under him, they were doing all kind of things, you know, they were cheating, they were corrupt, and he did not do anything about it. In fact, there was a verse that says, I think it was verse, let me quickly check there, verse 23, when he actually said, oh, why are you doing this? I hear of your evil dealings, you know, being passive about it. And then you go down to verse 29 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. It says, God sent another priest to him, a prophet to him, to Eli, and said, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourself fat with the best of all the offering? He honored his sons more than the Lord. He refused to actively correct them. Do you know the end of those children? Both of them died in one day. Let's carefully correct our children. Let's discipline them. That is part of training. And then my last point is D, direction. Let's give our children direction. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. You know, let's use the Bible as a manual for living. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You know, talking about you doing it first, right? You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You know, it's what we need to consciously do. You don't need, you know, a special time that, okay, this is the time for devotions, you know. It's something you're taking them to school. You can talk to them on the way to school, you know, at the dinner table, you know. It's something that needs to keep, it's supposed to be an ongoing thing. Praise the Lord. And, I think it was, Rhea mentioned, you know, some time ago how, you know, she's got grandchildren overseas and she's been reading to them, you know, over the phone. You know, I'm like, how awesome is that? Reading God's word to your children overseas, you know, as a grandparent. You know, it's amazing. There are ways, you know, that God can give us wisdom to be able to start to do this in our homes. Help them to find purpose. Proverbs 22:6 in the Message translation, it says, point your kids in the right direction. When they're whole, they won't be lost. Acts 20:24, Paul was saying here, he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I receive from the Lord. That is the whole purpose, you know. That is the whole duty of us, to find purpose in life. You see children leaving high school with no sense of direction. You know, they call what they do gap year. I'm not saying gap year is wrong, but a lot of them do it because they don't have a sense of direction. They don't know what they want to do with their lives. It's our role as parents to guide them. You know, look at their strengths, you know, and push them in that area, you know. Let them be their best. It's what we parents need to do. You know, Genesis, God was proud of Abraham in Genesis 18. And verse 6, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do the righteousness and justice that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken of him. That is a testimony that, you know, I desire that God have for you and for me as a parent. Praise the Lord. And as I conclude this morning, I want us to look at Psalm 127 and verse 1. And while you have your hand on that, I want you to open to Luke chapter 2 as well. I want to encourage you parents here this morning that all the things, I know I've given you a lot of points, a lot of guidance from the Word of God in our area of parenting this morning. But I want you to know that as Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who builds it. That is only with the help of God that we can fulfill our roles as parents. That our children can grow up and continue the faith. You know, it's only the help of the Lord. My desire for my children, and I believe that what should be the desire of every Christian parent is what, you know, was said in 3 John chapter 1. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the faith. They are walking in the truth. That should be our greatest joy as parents, that our children know the Lord and they are walking in the truth. But the help of the Lord is what we need. We need the grace of God. We need the help of God. And with the help of God, with the grace of God, we begin to do this, and this is what happens, that like what happened to Jesus in Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 40 with me. He says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. How many people want that for their children this morning? And in verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That is what will begin to happen with our children. If we begin to follow these principles, you know, in the Word of God, they will grow. They will become strong in spirit. They will be filled with wisdom. They will know what is right from what is wrong. And, you know, that Proverbs 22 says, when they are whole, they will not depart from it. That is the way that they will not depart from. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen.